10. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you there, you need to get signed up for camp tonight now if you're going. And we need to make sure everybody's ready to go. And the bus will be leaving out. I think it's 8 o'clock. Is it 8 o'clock or 8:30? Whatever it says there. 8 o'clock Monday morning, bright and early for a week of camp. And if you're not going to camp, you're not going to heaven, buddy. That's what the Bible says. And so we're excited about it and looking for a great time in the Lord. Don't miss it. And we're going to look tonight on a little subject. I'd like for you to do me a favor, all you mamas and daddies, especially you that'll be home by yourself next week, that you spend a day fasting and praying for camp tomorrow or Saturday or at the latest Monday. Because I'm praying God will do something for our young people. Our kids, if you parents understood that much of how, what kind of battle your kids are in this world, then it'd make a difference in your life and their life. It's like playing ball, playing football. Every time you miss a church service, the devil gets an edge on. Every time we get in a good look for the Lord, the devil comes right back with something else. Every time they try to take a stand, the devil tries to knock them back down. Isn't that true? Sure it is. Buddy, we are in a race. We are in a battle for the souls and minds and lives of our teenagers and young people. And if you're a parent, you've got to understand that. It's not optional whether you try to live for the Lord or not. I mean, I've heard people say, well, I'll be all right. What about your kids? What about your kids? You want your kids to turn out right? Then you better push them. If you here's zero and here's 100 and here's the middle. If you want your kids to be a 50, you got to push them for 75. And they'll pull back over here to 50. Now, if you don't understand what that means, it means zero would be the sorriest life. 100 would be a perfect life. And you said, if they just turn out good for the Lord, you got to push them way over here to make them wind up here. If you're here, they're going to wind up here. Every generation gets a little further away from God. If you're a 75 Christian, your kids will be about a 40 or a 50. If you want your kids to be a 50, you better be a 100 or a 90 at least. If you're a 50, your kids will be a 10. And their kids won't even go to church. Y'all listen to me? I'm telling you, it's the parents. It's the parents. It's the parents that determine largely which way a kid grow. That Bible said, train up a child in the way they should grow. And if it's important to you, it'll be important to them. If it's not important to you, it won't be important to them. Whatever you talk about, they're going to think. Usually, if a daddy likes sports, kids like sports. If a mama likes nice clothes, the girl likes nice clothes. We take after our parents. I can feel a lot of my daddy coming into me. A lot of times it's in your genes, man. It's in your DNA. You're born, it just comes through you. And we got to push our kids to do right. Now, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 10 here this evening. And I just want to look at a little verse here, just a few minutes. Then we're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting with everybody going to camp. Jeremiah chapter 10. And look at verse 25. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 25. And let's look at a verse of Scripture here. Remember what I said. You are in a battle. You are in a race for the lives and souls and minds of your children. You're in a race. And every time you let up, the devil gets an edge. And summertime's the worst time there because you let them go off here and let them go off there. And they miss church. And when they miss church, it sets them back. So look at here, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 25. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families, there's the word I want you to look, families that call not on thy name. Families. As far as I know, that's the only time in the Bible where it talks about a family praying. Now, there are families that pray all through the Bible, but that's the only time it's worded that way. Families that call not on thy name. And I'm going to talk about family praying. You know, the old saying is, the family that prays together, what? Stays together. And that's true. That's true. You say, well, we pray together and we didn't stay together. If both, everybody will pray continually, submit themselves to the will of God, a family stay together. What happens is when one or both don't or won't, and then you got problems. But we need to pray with our kids. The Bible said on Genesis 4:26, and I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to talk a little bit and then let you talk. So this is different than when I preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And appreciate, I had a lot of comments on the service Sunday night, and I didn't even really preach it. I don't even know what I was preaching on. I was preaching on carrying on and going on. Got off on some crazy stuff, but we had a great time. If you missed it, you need to get the tapes, videos, CDs, whatever. But the Bible said in Genesis 4:26 that men began to call on the name of the Lord. People started praying in Genesis 4 and verse 26. Heard about a man, wife, had these little kids, six, seven years old, and they let them go to camp for the first time. They'd never been to camp. And about the fourth day, the mom and daddy was sitting there at the breakfast table, and the woman said, "I sure do miss the kids. They've been gone 3 days." He said, "I do too." She said, "It don't just seem the same without them." And he said, "Why don't you rub a little bit of that jelly in my hair and knock my orange juice over?" it gets on your nerves when they're there, but really, when they're gone, you miss them, don't you? But you need to pray. We need to pray. And I'm asking you, next week while we're gone, pray. If you don't have any kids or your kids have done grown, gone off, pray for the ones that's out. I believe that if we're ever going to see a revival in this country, it will start as every other revival I've ever seen did, through young people. Always has. And most of the time in history. The great revival in England started when a 15-year-old girl, I believe it was, stood up and said, "I do love Jesus." The Holy Ghost fell. That's right. So God sometimes gets in through the tender heart of young people and it spread. We want God to do something in our church. Let's pray God will do something for our kid. Now, I'm going to tell you a few things that's going to keep you from praying. You know, my girls, I've always tried to raise them that we'd have family prayer. Every night we'd pray. And when I wasn't preaching, I'd tell them to pray before they went to bed. When I wasn't preaching, I'd go in there and I'd get down to the other bed and we'd pray. And they didn't all sleep in the same bed. They had their rooms. But we'd all go in there together and I'd say, here's what I'd say. I'd get my girls down. If you got kids, pray it like this. I'd grab them, hold up, and I'd say, "Lord, I pray that you'd keep them out of trouble. And I pray if they do something wrong that you'd show them and let them know it and help them not to do it and have them feel awful if they do and convict them and God protect them and watch over them and God help them to realize you're always looking at them." And they remember me praying that every night. Pray with them. And when they get older, then hopefully they'll get in the habit of that. Do not ever let your kid go to sleep listening to music. You're just letting the world just pump them that into them to sleep. I've heard people say, "Well, I can't sleep unless I'm listening to music." Well, it's because you're an addict. You need counseling. you really do. You don't need that stuff pumping in your head anytime, for that matter, let alone trying to go to sleep. I knew a guy that left the TV on blaring every night, all night long in his bedroom. And I used to go down to his house and I'd stay with him sometime when I was preaching. Him and his wife, they go to bed and he had a TV on all night. I said, "How in the world do you stand that, man? I mean, you know, for a while it's all right, but when it comes time to go to sleep, Lord, shut that thing off." You know why people do that? Because when it gets quiet, you start thinking, don't you? You start thinking, "I'm a low-down dog. I got to hear some noise. Drowned out my conscience." You got a good time to pray right there. Learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. God did not intend for you to have somebody singing in your ears or preaching either, for that matter. There's some girl over here in Lenore sometimes come to me, she said, "Every night I go to sleep listening to you preach." And I thought, well, that ain't really much of a... There's a lot of people go to sleep when I'm preaching. Get out of here. I said, "I don't want to hear that." In other words, your preaching puts me to sleep. Well, you ain't so hot yourself, man. But I said, I thought, That ain't no compliment, good night. But anyway, we're get quiet. Let it get quiet in your room. My girls used to say, Daddy, I can't sleep. So I'm not going to bed. I said, go to bed. She said, I'm not sleepy. I said, go to bed anyway. I'm not sleepy. I can't go to sleep. I said, I didn't say you had to go to sleep. I said you had to go to bed. But I'm not sleepy. I didn't say you had to go to sleep. I said you got to go to bed and you got to close your eyes. You don't have to go to sleep. Stay awake all night, honey. But you got to close your eyes. And she'd lay there for a minute like that and say, I can't sleep. And I'd say, pray for everybody you know. Pray for everybody you know. Start, mamaw, papaw, cousins, sisters, everybody at school. And before you get through, you'll be asleep. You know what the world calls it? They say, what are you supposed to do when you can't sleep? Count sheep. Right? We're praying for all God's sheep. That's where that comes from. You pray for everybody you know, and before you get through, sometimes it takes me a long time to go to sleep. I envy people that can just lay down and go to sleep. You ever see anybody like that? Lord have mercy, that must be nice. I'd give $100 if I could do that. I never have been able to do that. I know people that you know, we'll be at camp somewhere and say, yeah, okay, well, let's lay down. And you say, what are you going to do tomorrow? They're done gone, man, like that right there. I'm jealous of you if you can do that. Now, the downside to that is the house burned down. You wouldn't even know it. Brother, if there was a bug run across my leg, like I believe it was last night, night before, I felt something like something go across my leg, and I grabbed it and throwed it like that. If I'd been asleep, I'd have never felt that thing. And I ain't seen no bugs. I sprayed for bugs and everything. I ain't got no bugs in the house that I know of, but something run across my leg last night. And maybe I dreamed it. But anyway, is there anybody in here that can go to sleep just like that? I envy y'all. I envy you. You ever be talking to somebody and you think they're talking to you and they're asleep? Buddy, I ain't. I sleep just like this. If somebody opens the door, I'm awake. I can't help it. I can't help it. I've always been that way. I can't help it. I tell you what I can do. And you might not believe this. It's the truth. I try it. I do this all the time. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I can tell you within 15 minutes what time it is. I woke up the night before last, and I said, it's 4 o'clock. I looked, and it's 3:59. I do that all the time. That is a weird thing, but I do that all the time. I'm always just like, I always know what time it is. I heard people say, well, I just lost track of time. That blows my mind how anybody can do that. I can't even comprehend that. I wish I could be like that. I wish I could relax. Must be nice. It must be nice just to go home and sit and just think about nothing. Can you do that? Dude, I can't do that. When I sit down, my mind's going like that. And I start thinking, calm down. And then my legs start wanting to get up. And it's like them little things you see on people's hands. It's got a little snow scene in it, you know. And you shake it up like that, and then all this little snow's going around. That's the way it feels like it's in my head. And my head's going this way. And finally, I just say, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Lord. And then finally, I'll go to sleep. And in about 3 hours, I'll wake up, and I'll start praying again. I envy anybody who can sleep. But make sure you learn how to pray before you go to sleep. Turn the TV off for a while and go to sleep. You don't have to go to sleep watching whatever. Anybody got a comment on that right there?
I think pretty much everybody watches TV when they go to sleep over here. No, I was saying that it's just like this society, you know, I always see it, and when the lights go down and everything, it's like your mind's still racing.
That's right.
And it's just hard to get to.
It is.
And we talk about peace all the time, but the truth is most of the time I don't have any.
Yeah. You're right, because our lifestyle and work and bills, and it'll run you crazy. And we need some peace and quiet. Be still, the Lord said, know that I'm God.
I was told by a scientist a couple years ago that when you sleep, if you fall asleep to music, and you play like one song over and over again, or you would play like a news article, like an audio version of a news article over and over again, that like when you're asleep, you subconsciously can like memorize it.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I believe that or not.
Yeah, that's
You, not while you're asleep. How do you know? How do you know you didn't know it before you got asleep? You can't tell me you wake up the next day and know stuff you didn't know. Well, maybe. Well, maybe. Well, if you listen to it before you go to sleep, yeah, that's, I understand that. I'm talking about after you're asleep, brother. I don't know about that. It'd wake me up. No doubt. But it gets in there before you go to sleep. No, it don't, but you, what, go up, okay, when you're sound asleep, I'm going to come in and say, hey, Neil, wake up, I'm going to give you $1,000. You don't tell you. You
do it once, right? My grandmother started that. She died when she was 92, but she used to do tapes and sell them, and they used to listen to them repeatedly with a nice, soft tone, and it worked. It does.
You know what I think? I think you're getting it right as you're going off.
I agree.
But after you get gone, I don't know. There's no scripture that says you can learn stuff while you're asleep.
Well,
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying there's no scripture that says you can't. Yes, ma'am. How do we get off on me? I don't know. How do you walk in your sleep? How do you talk in your sleep? Here's what I do. I don't talk or walk in my sleep, but right before I go to sleep, it feels like something, my car is coming at me. And you jump and you wake up. Has anybody ever done that? I hate that. And you jump, like it feels like somebody's going, like somebody throws a ball and it's going to hit me in the face.
Well, I've heard you preach their spirits don't sleep.
That's right. Your spirit? I don't know. I don't know if your spirit can hear.
Well, sure. The Bible talks about the hearing with your spiritual ears.
It does, but it's not like my voice. Your spirit don't hear my voice.
Sure.
Just your ears hear my voice.
Sure does.
No.
Well, how do you think the demons and spirits got cast out if they couldn't hear Jesus' voice?
They
think the Lord talked to you and told you to preach.
He didn't talk to my ears.
You heard it, Jesus.
In my heart. They can hear him speak. Maybe they can. Maybe they can. I've talked to them before, but I don't know if they can hear me. Get out of here, man. Don't let nobody see you doing that. I'll put you in Broughton over there. You're around talking to yourself.
The spiritual world is just as real as the physical.
It is.
You can see with your eyes the things that are actually
here's, you can, but here's what I'm saying, brother. When your spirit... Okay, listen to this. Your spirit don't hear a voice. That's why you can sit and read the Bible and you don't hear nothing, but it's getting in your spirit. So I'm saying your spirit don't have ears.
People in heaven or hell can't hear.
I didn't say that.
Well, but they're spirits. Well, they're not physical bodies.
They're souls. They're, I don't know. They got a body.
No, they're physical bodies in the grave.
That's true. I don't know. They can hear God. I'm just saying... When you sit down and read the Bible, your spirit's hearing it. I can read John, for God so loved the world he gave, but I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah, but in your mind you're reading it.
There you go. That's right.
Although you might not recognize the voice, but your mind does. The voice that you're hearing is your own.
That's right.
That's true. You ain't saying nothing.
People in a coma have been known to remember, even though they were in a coma, have been known to remember the people that came and visited them
yeah.
while they were in a coma.
Yeah. That's probably true. That's probably true.
Absolutely.
Ah, maybe. They can hear you. They can hear you. No, I said we can't. I said our spirit don't have ears. That's what I said. I didn't say they couldn't hear us. Who had their hand raised over here, Nick, Brother Ray? Right. That's right. Amen. That's true. That's true. All right, who else had their hand raised? We got to move on here. Could be. Could be. I don't know, man. Phyllis?
I had Tim answer mine about spirits, but I have heard people say when you're having real bad troubles, not to talk about them out loud because the devil can hear you, and that way he can see you because he knows what's going on.
Right, because what you profess out of your mouth,
that's true.
You'll be tested by that. That's just like a man that claims faith or healing or whatever. The devil will use that. That's what he'll be tested for. Whatever comes out of your mouth.
True.
That's what you'd be tested by.
That's true. And you're right. And sometimes you've heard people say the devil wouldn't know so much if we'd shut up because he can't read your mind. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, I ain't talking about these ears. That's your spiritual ear. Because I don't think anybody in here has ever heard God talk with these ears. Have you? I mean, you don't be scared to tell me if you have. I am. I've never heard God say nothing. I felt like He spoke to me in my spirit, but I've never heard like with these ears, like I'm talking to y'all. Anybody? Oh, how do we get off on all this? We're supposed to be talking about praying for camp. Oh, yeah. Take it, turn that thing off and be quiet for a little while before you go to sleep and pray. Anybody have another question? Let me suppose to say something. All right. There you go. Yeah. If you can't sleep, get your Bible out and read a chapter. You'll be gone. Turn TV on, you'll be awake for another 2 hours. All right, go ahead. Everybody listen.
Here a couple of weeks ago, my family just, everything's been great.
Yeah. Amen. I believe that. I believe that's happened to me before. Yeah. I remember one time I was supposed to preach somewhere, and I had this sermon I was going to preach, and just as plain as day in my heart, it's like the Lord said, preach on heaven. Just as plain, I mean, like I knew it. I'm not saying everything pops in your head is God talking to you. Don't think that, because it ain't. Believe me. But once in a while, it does seem that way. Anybody else right quick want to say something? Then I'm going to move on. All right, let's talk about praying for a kid. And then we're going to go a few more minutes here, and then we're going to have a meeting for camp. Kids, if they see their mama pray, then they're going to. If they see their daddy pray, then they're going to pray. If you don't ever pray, my kids know that when something bad happens, we pray. When somebody gets sick, we pray. That's just what you do. When somebody has a car wreck, you pray. You know what I've always told them? And these kids here, they picked it up from me too. Every time you see an ambulance going down the road with lights on it, pray for that person. You don't know who it is. It may be some of your family and you not even know it. And just get in a habit of that. When you see a car wreck, don't say, ooh, there's blood. Ah! Just say, Lord, please help them people. God, please. Lord, if any of them don't, you know what I mean? Learn. Your kids just... Your kids don't learn how to pray by you telling them to pray. They learn how to pray by watching you and observing you pray. like that little, these people had company, and they had the preacher coming over for dinner, hint, hint, and they was having a big meal, and they had a big meal laid out for the preacher. The preacher's coming to eat, going out, hint, hint, and they were all, I'm just kidding, but they were all sitting around like this, and she said, "All right, honey, you ask the blessing." And she said, "Mom, yes, honey, you ask the blessing." And the preacher's there, and everybody bowed their head. She said, "Mom, I don't know what to say." She said, "Just say what Mommy says." She says, "Lord, why did I invite these people over here on a hot day like this?" You see, whatever they hear you say, that's what they're going to say. One kid come in one time, and all the women in the church came over, and they were all sitting there talking. And the kid come walking in and said, "Mama, which one's old Miss Hypocrite?" She heard Mama say that, and it stuck in her head. That's right. Kid come to the door. One preacher knocked on the door. Kid come to the door one time and said, "Hello, honey. Mama said to tell you she's not here." But, you know, they pick up what you say and more what you do. People would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. So let's remember that. Now, you know what keeps us from praying? You know what keeps us from praying? Work schedule. Mama's on the second shift. Daddy's on the first shift. Or the other way around. Daddy's on the second shift. Mama's on the first shift. Homework. Kids on ball teams. One of them don't get home from ball game until 10 o'clock at night. The other one's done had to go to bed. See that? Everybody, you know, years ago, people didn't live like they live now. Years ago, they worked on the farm till dark. They came in, they had supper. Everybody went to bed at the same time. There wasn't no tea. You know, I mean, that's when life was simple. Now we got all this stuff. Mama's in there on the computer. Kids in here watching TV. Someone's out on the video game. And the house is just a mess. It's just a mess. No peace. No, and it's always fussing and fighting and throwing things and all kinds of junk constantly. Because we don't take time for the Lord. We're too busy. We're too busy for God. Sometimes y'all just shut everything down and say, "Look, we're going to read the Bible. We're going to pray." And if you don't, you'll regret it. If you're a 75, your kids will be a 40. If you're a 50, your kids will be a 10. And their kids won't go to church at all. That's what's going to happen. You remember me saying it. I'll tell you something else. Arguments keep people from praying together. You get in a big fuss. You know when you have your worst fusses? On Saturday night, before you got to go to church on Sunday morning. I've had people tell me, "Brother Danny, I don't understand it, but every Saturday night we get in a big fight." That's the devil trying to knock you out of church on Sunday. Or on the way to church, or on Wednesday evenings, or before. I mean, after you have a big fight, both of you is too stubborn to say, "Well, are we going to pray?" You know, she gets over here and she goes, turns over. And I got one big king-size bed, and he's way over here. He turns over. He said, "You want to pray?" She said, "I'll do my own praying. God ain't going to listen to you." And that keeps us. Oh, yeah, that goes on. And you, somebody got to be Christian enough to go and grab the other hand and say, "Look." I've heard people say, "Well, I feel like a hypocrite praying after the way we've been fighting." Ain't no use in feeling like a hypocrite. Just bow your head and say, "Lord, we've been fighting. And you've heard everything we've said, and I know we are sorry, good for nothing, Christians, but please have mercy on us." I mean, after you've been fighting for an hour, don't come down and say, "Oh, God of Jehoshaphat and Abraham and Isaac." I mean, don't try to put on no big act like you're some big spiritual person. You might as well say, "Lord, you've seen how we've been acting. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God help me do better and wash me in the blood of Jesus." That's what you do. You might as well be honest with the Lord because He already knows it anyway. Amen? He already knows it anyway. Somebody want to say something right there? You heard about the man. You can't. If you go to bed mad, you can't even sleep. You ever went to bed mad, fussing? Like a man that went to bed real hungry. He's real hungry. He dreamed he ate a 150-pound marshmallow. He woke up the next morning, his pillow was gone. You know, if you go to bed fighting and fussing, you ain't going to feel rested when you wake up. Make peace. Somebody be a big enough Christian to make peace. Anybody else, right quick, before I say another thing or two, and we're gonna pray. I want y'all to pray for your kids at camp. Amen? I want you to pray. I want you to pray. If you backslid sometimes, that'll keep you from praying. If you ain't been doing right, if you've got a sin in your heart, and every time you start to pray, the Holy Ghost reminds you of that sin, and you don't want to repent of it. Can I say something to y'all tonight, and I'm going to hush? Can I say something to you? There ain't no sin worth forfeiting your fellowship with God over. And you'll believe that one day. You may not believe it now. And I'm not talking about we all sin, come short of the glory of God. God, keep your sins confessed up. Keep your sins confessed up. Pray all the time. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. All the time, pray God will forgive you. But I'm talking about when you deliberately have a sin in your life and you are not willing to get it right, you're going to lose that fellowship with God. And that's a mistake. That's a mistake. Ain't nothing worth that. If you're going to need it one of these days, then you ain't going to have it. Anybody else, right quick? Say something or ask something. Well, I'm going to talk more about that later, but for right now, I'm going to stop, and I want every one of us just to bow our heads right now. Everybody bow your head. Miss Desi, come and play something softly. If you would, please. Softly on the piano. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Right now, where you sit, right now, parents, mamas, let's get our priorities right. Let's get our priorities straight right now. Lord, I want to pray, and I want to keep my heart right. Amen. I want to keep my heart right. And every day, I want to keep my heart right. Come on. If you want to come and pray, you want to pray right there at your seat. Amen. Anybody else? Come on. Others might need to come. Good time to come right now. Good time to come. Kids, let's get our heart ready for camp. Amen. Let's get ready. I want God to do something at camp, huh? I can't wait to see all the kids from Alabama and Georgia and up in Kentucky and everything. I believe the Lord wants to do something. I believe the Lord wants to do something. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray that God will just get in that thing and give us a big day Sunday and everybody get ready for camp. We got some that need some help financially. Pray that God will work it out for them. Somebody wants to help, it'd be a great blessing. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Oh, God, bless our church. We pray that you'll forgive us of all of our sin. Everything we've said, done, or thought wrong, we ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, that you cleanse us in the blood. Thank you tonight for this little study on prayer. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and convicting us, Lord, and helping us, Lord, to get back on our prayer bones and pray and be a blessing to others. Have your way in our hearts, Lord, and get us ready for camp next week. Supply the needs of all these young people. And I pray the Holy Ghost will come down, keep us safe, use us for your glory. Have your way in our hearts. God will give you the glory and praise and thank you for it all because we love you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. All right. Now, before we go now tonight, the kids are still in their class. I want to remind you, bus meeting, Saturday morning at 9:30. We're going to visit the bus kids. We need some help, too. So if you can come and help, it's vacation week. If you've been off all week, it'd be a great time for you to go visiting Saturday morning. We did pretty good Sunday. We really did. Sunday, the worst day of the year for church attendance. And we like 17 having 400 people in here Sunday morning. That was great. That's good for the 3rd of July. And so, praise God for that. Let's go visit him Saturday morning. God will bless you for it. All right, everybody that's going to camp, we're going to have a meeting right here on these first three or four rows right now. If you're not in this meeting, then I'm assuming you ain't going, okay? Just a little quick meeting. The kids are still in their class. It's still early. So everybody else, you can fellowship and go. The ones that's going to camp right here in this section, right here for a little quick meeting, if you don't mind.